Welcome, everybody, to the Hidden Guardians podcast, your only podcast hosted by actual Hidden Guardians. I am Venj. I will be rolling solo today while Outrider deals with some life stuff. So I know we missed the big update last week, but we're going to cover the PvP one this week. Going to give a fairly general overview of things. Main topics for all this are PvP strike team update, accessibility and console UI updates, and prophecy dungeon weapons updates. Which I guess I'm a little surprised that wasn't in there last week, but all right, PvP strike team update. Hey folks, it's the PvP strike team here. Today we'd like to share thoughts on the current state of PvP, our philosophy, and the changes we have planned. We believe Destiny's PvP gameplay provides players with a unique experience that can stand on its own, but it needs a clear vision alongside ongoing iteration. For some time, the Crucible hasn't felt like it's had that. This has made it difficult for us to attract players to the Crucible, leading to a slow bleed of our PvP population over the last couple of years as veterans move on and are not replaced by fresh players. Returning to our core mission, we want to refocus on rewarding the players who love the Crucible, as well as push to provide a baseline variety of experiences to ensure there is always something appealing for PvP enjoyers. Since the strike team was formed, the bulk of our work has been focused on finding solutions for five major issues: Crucible maps, rewards, game modes, sandbox issues, and matchmaking. So, for the maps, due to its dynamic nature, PvP can create content on its own, and every match can tell a story, but our players have spent millions of Guardian hours on our current selection of maps, playing the same game modes in the same arenas. It feels as though most of these stories have already been told, and there is only so much you can do in these same play spaces. Additionally, different modes require different kinds of maps to succeed, and our limited map selection means we have often pushed modes onto maps where they are not necessarily optimal. Like Rift on the new Throne World map, resulting in subpar player experience. Our current crop of maps has not been updated in some time in terms of spawns, ammo crate locations, zones, etc. And this is exacerbating the issue as we continue to add newer modes to old maps. An example would be maps for Rift being used for Clash and Control, like Disjunction, there it is, the Citadel, Convergence, and Cathedral of Dusk. To help us with this, we've made some substantial quality of life passes on our existing maps. Already live, initial map spawning quality of life pass, spawn traps for Altar of Flame, Cauldron, Endless Veil, Midtown Meltdown. And even as, like me, someone who doesn't play a ton of PvP, I have experienced that on what feels like every map, to be honest with you, but those maps are definitely up there. Coming with update 7.3.5 on March 5th, they're doing another map spawning quality of life pass, addressing spawn traps for Eternity and Fortress. I don't know if I noticed it much with Eternity. Maybe. Removing all backfield spawns for non-Rift modes, the Citadel, Cathedral of Dust, Disjunction, and Convergence. That's good. I feel like there's even a couple other maps that I can't think of their names where, like, depending on if you're playing Control and you end up in a zone, you can literally spawn as far away from any action as possible, which is frustrating. This will effectively make these maps play 30 to 50% smaller than they currently do and reduce the amount of time spent running back to combat after spawning. That's good. That needing to run to catch up to everything, and then you could end up being the only player on your team left alive, which is so frustrating. Major tuning of initial spawning, heavy ammo crate, and tiebreaker zone locations for all maps. That's good. Especially heavy. I know it's more like trials and stuff like that, but a lot of the maps seem to have like a very one spawn side heavy, like, location for heavy. So hopefully this is actually a good change and can make getting heavy a little bit better. We're also making changes for our workflows that will allow us to update the above variables more easily. In the future, we'll be able to more quickly address issues with map imbalance and spawning. And they have an example here. The next time Dead Cliffs returns to Trials, it will have changes made to the spawns, zones, and heavy ammo placement to make it more balanced. Good. Because I think Dead Cliffs is one of those. And then coming in May, they're adding 3 new maps to the Crucible. Eventide Labs from Europa, Cirrus Plaza on Neomuna, and Dissonance in a terraformed pyramid ship. So that's cool. And I skipped something here. Crucible-focused players may also feel left behind in terms of locations, as they get less exposure to the awesome new destinations that come with our releases. For example, Europa and Neomuna have exciting palettes that our PvP-focused players rarely get to experience. In May, we're releasing more maps that explore these locations, as I just said. While these maps will be available in Control, they've been specifically built with the focus of 3v3 game modes in mind, including Dominion, Clash, Survival, and our newest mode, Collision. Rewards. We want Crucible to feel at least as rewarding as PvE, with post-game drops on par with strike activities in terms of rewarding materials and activity-specific loot. We also want PvP players to have more consistent methods of being rewarded with build crafting materials. This has led us to make the following changes, which are currently available in-game. So general PvP, stuff that's already live. They have increased end-of-match rewards, including more glimmer and higher chances for enhancement cores and Crucible engrams, and created double rewards boosters for PvP. I think engram should almost be a guaranteed drop. That's just my opinion. Competitive, it's already live. They added weapon focusing. I don't know how people are liking that. I have personally not used that, so I'm not sure how well that actually feels. I don't know if it's expensive or if it feels worth. And added a second tier to the competitive weekly challenge that awards Ascendant Alloys. And then, I'm not sure when this is going to drop. I don't think it doesn't say. Oh, it's 7.3.5, so their update in March. They're adding a handful of armor pieces that I guess I would, if I had to assume, it would be probably some year one, maybe year two armor. And competitive, that is going to be Artivis armor in the competitive playlist, which is good. So you got Phoenix Strife, Sword Flight, I guess all Sword Flight 4.1 and Binary Cloak for Hunter. Titans have Phoenix Strife and Binary Phoenix Mark. Warlock has Anka Seeker 4 and Binary Phoenix Bond. So in update 7.3.5, they're adding a third tier to the competitive weekly challenge with a new reward of Artifice Armor. This tier will be unlocked for all players who reach rank gold 3 or above each season. That feels maybe kind of bad, but I don't know how ranking feels anymore. I haven't played competitive in a long time. This tier will require match victories instead of completions. And upon completion of the challenge, each victory thereafter will have a chance to drop Artifice Armor, and the drop rates will increase alongside your rank. I do like that. That's kind of cool. Competitive matches will also have an increased chance to drop exotic weapon catalysts on victories. In trials, we want to strike a better balance between the effort versus reward equation for going flawless, while also increasing reward options for players who cannot go flawless. To that end, we recently added flawed card rewards. With update 7.3.5 on March 5th, we'll update the passage of ferocity and add a new passage of persistence. So trials, stuff that's already live, added a 50% chance to get a trials weapon on wins. With this update, this will be updated to exclusively drop the weekly weapon reward to better allow for targeted farming of the specific weapon you want. I do like that. And they added the flawed card rewards. In update 7.3.5, we're making the following changes to Trials Passages. Passage of Ferocity, if you have not been flawless for the week. Losses after 3 wins will reset you back to 3 wins instead of flawing your card. With the new Passage of Persistence, losses following a win will remove the win from your card. Consecutive losses do not remove additional wins. So getting to 7 wins grants you a drop of the weekly Adept Weapon, regardless of how many losses you have taken. This passage works like Trailing Backstop. Once you have at least 1 win recorded on the passage, a loss will remove the most recent win instead of flawing it. Since consecutive losses will not remove additional wins, winning 2 games in a row adds a permanent win to the card, and win streaks longer than 2 add additional permanent wins. You can only go flawless on this passage if you do not have a win removed. Once a win has been removed, you can no longer get flawless using this passage, but you can still earn a roll of the weekly Adept Weapon. I do like that. That might be enough to make me want to try and get into Trials. It's still sort of a toxic playlist, but I don't know if that's ever actually going to change. We've also added rewards for match completions by 3-person fire teams in Trials. Although you do not need to win to earn these rewards, they are participation-gated, so simply jumping off the map or sitting AFK in spawn will disqualify you from getting them. I do like that. Additional 50% chance to drop the non-Adept Trials weekly weapon reward, a 50% chance to get a Trials engram drop, additional Trials reputation. The goal of these changes is to encourage players to team up with friends. With losses being less of a punishment, players can have more fun and be well-rewarded while doing so. I know there's more stuff for Trials down a little further in this. I do like these changes for the most part. I know that the 3-person fire teams is definitely to boost the 3v3 playlist, because I've heard that it is a nightmare. It's a very small population, and on PC, there is many, many, many cheaters on PC. Yeah, that so far I like these changes, and I don't know. It might make me want to run Trials with a group of 3 more, as opposed to just running solo and trying to get weapon drops and just hit, you know, the weekly rewards. Not that I've played Trials in 8 months. All right, game modes. So the modes that are already live, we have, they created Sparrow Control, added 3v3 Clash to Crucible Labs, and updated the Countdown Rush rule set for competitive. Coming March 5th, 3v3 Clash will be moving to the 3v3 Quick Play Rotator, and we'll be making these updates to the rules. Heavy ammo will no longer be shared, respawn timer increasing from 5 to 7 seconds, match timer increasing to 10 minutes, but the score to win remains 40. A new 3v3 King of the Hill mode, Collision, will enter Crucible Labs. A single, larger zone will rotate between 5 points around the map on a timer. Capturing and controlling it will earn your team points. This mode will also test an alternative special ammo crate system. Anybody that played in D1, that'll bring some memories back. The special ammo crate system will feature 4 shareable special ammo crates that spawn simultaneously at the beginning of the game or round and then end on a timer afterwards. Each control zone location, A, B, and C, will have an associated special ammo crate, and the 4th crate will be a neutral location. Players who currently have special ammo will drop special ammo bricks on death. It is our goal to polish and refine both new special ammo acquisition systems, ammo meter, and ammo crates. They then can be utilized along with respawn ammo system, and we can pick the ammo acquisition system that works best for each mode. Sorry. Iron Banner Tribute has undergone multiple changes, including simplifying objectives and scoring, including changing the trigger for the hunt from depositing max crests to a team score threshold, removing the wall hacks on players carrying max crests. I'm okay with that. Any reduction in wall hacks is good for everybody. Cleaning up the user experience by decreasing the distance at which crest icons can be seen. We're also reworking how quickly the beacons despawn and rotate, and significantly decreasing the time it takes to interact to dunk crests. And reducing the number of turrets to spawn with the hunt beacon from 4 to 3. And update 7.3.6, which I guess I don't know if that's the one that's going to be in May or not. Checkmate will be back in Crucible Labs, returning in form closer to its original iteration. 30% penalty on ability cooldowns, no starting special ammo. Melee damage will not be increased, so it will take 3 base melees to kill. Primary weapon optimal times to kill will be shifted to allow for a more tactical sandbox, in line with the original goal of Checkmate as a modifier. A new modifier, Hardware, will also be tested in labs. It's no abilities, only weapons. Grab special and heavy ammo from crates located around the map and get to shooting. I'm kind of curious how that's going to be, because I know people have wanted that a long time. To have a PvP mode where it's literally just guns. You don't have supers, grenades, melee abilities. I'm assuming you probably aren't going to have class abilities too, because it says no abilities. Which would be good. You know, no rifts, no overshield, barricades. And coming in the final shape, private matches will have more options for players to set per mode. Modifiers such as Mayhem or Scorched will be options in any game mode. Play custom matches with your clanmates and friends, or leverage Fireteam Finder. We have also added more custom tuning for existing game modes. You'll have better control over things like special ammo delivery, ability cooldowns, reviving, respawns, and more. Sandbox updates and issues. I'm just going to go right into what's coming in March here. The Crucible Sandbox is getting a significant shakeup to increase battlefield readability and understanding. We're also adjusting the Weapon Sandbox to encourage primary weapon mastery and reduce the prevalence of high-reward, low-risk weapon playstyles. The following are Crucible-specific changes. Player health, base HP increasing by 30 from 70 to 100. Abilities, grenade, melee, and class ability cooldowns are increasing by 15%. Melee damage increasing by 16%. Super cooldowns increasing 20%. That's good. Super damage increasing 31%. Primary weapon balance. Bow damage decreasing 15%. I think that's good. Especially with the way Wishender has ruled a lot of certain aspects of PvP. All their primary weapon critical hit damage increasing by between 10 and 14%, depending on the archetype, to maintain the same optimal times to kill as the current sandbox, and decreasing hand cannon and submachine gun body shot damage by 5% and 3% respectively. Special ammo. Special ammo after initial spawn will be earned through kills or the completion of objectives. The goal is not to force players to utilize the double primary style, but to encourage smart and measured special ammo usage. Increasing the damage of short and mid-range special ammo weapons like shotguns, trace rifles, fusion rifles, and glaive projectiles by 20%. Wow. That feels like a lot. But I guess if you're going to have to earn it, maybe that's a fair trade-off. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays. Specific balance change highlights, limiting the uptime of Wishender's True Sight ability. That I think is one of the biggest things right now. I don't know if I've seen a gun get complained about like Wishender. It feels like it's been a while. I guess it's like I said, I haven't played PvP much, but it does feel like, for me, that it hasn't been as common of a problem since Wishender started getting a lot more use in PvP. And it was, I mean, when you think back about it, when this came out, it was literally marketed for PvP. So anyway, moving on. Reducing sniper rifle aim assist. Reducing the flinch dealt to players by hand cannons. Slowing down the activation speed of target lock on submachine guns only. Reducing threaded specter uptime in PvP. Reducing thread link damage to players, and thread links will be easier to destroy. and reducing Fighting Lion and Devil's Ruin beam damage versus players. I know Devil's Ruin, when it was Checkmate Trials a little while ago, it ran Trials. It was, I'm pretty sure it was in top three kills for like the weekend. Fighting Lion, I don't know. It's not a play style that I know how to use, but there's a lot of people that have ability to basically use nonstop grenade launchers in PvP by just going back and forth. I don't know. I'm okay with this. It's not really a fun play style to play against or to even watch. For the final shape, we're working on changes to reduce the dominance of Ward of Dawn and Well of Radiance. That's good. We also want to improve the viability of supers with longer recharge times and objective game modes. We'll have more to share on this as we get closer to the release of the final shape. And after the final shape, we're also exploring UI updates to the obituary screen that would show the combination of players that killed you rather than just who dealt the final blow. Ooh. Like Overwatch, I guess. That's the only other game I can think of that actually does that. Matchmaking details. Stuff is already live. They replaced the loose skill-based matchmaking in Iron Banner Control with a new outlier protection matchmaking system. Updated competitive matchmaking to be rank-based. And currently testing several different configurations of a new Snake Draft lobby balancer. The update on March 5th, we will be updating our playlist tooltips to correctly display which matchmaking style is used for each mode. We have several changes planned for ongoing experimentation with the Snake Draft lobby balancing, aimed at improving how it handles fire teams. I guess this is kind of more important on the side of PvP stuff here. Rank-based matchmaking. Using the competitive playlist, rank-based matchmaking matches based on skill only in placement matches before you have been ranked. Once you have been ranked, your current rank is converted to a value we can use in place of skill in a range between -1,000 and 1,000, and you are matched based on that. For example, if you are in Gold 2, it tries to find you other Gold 2 players. If it cannot, it will expand to look within the neighboring minor ranks, in this case, Gold 3 and Gold 1. There are no available players after a given amount of time. The matchmaking will continue to expand through the minor ranks until it reaches a maximum of just beyond one major rank up and down. The only exception to this maximum bracket is if you are Ascendant 2 or Ascendant 1, where there are not always enough players to match in such narrow bands. These players can be considered Ascendant 3 for matchmaking purposes, helping to prevent extremely long queue times. Following placements, you will never be matched solely on skill. The only time skill will come into matchmaking at all is as part of our match quality standards to combat smurfing. This affects a small number of players whose skill is dramatically higher than the rank, and in these cases, it will blend the rank and skill of these players and match them between the two values. This prevents players from being able to throw placement matches or D-rank to match against less skilled players, ensuring we do not have extreme skill outliers in lobbies. In our most recent pool of rank-based matching stats, here are the numbers. 67% of rank-based matches started with converted rank deltas of less than 300, with all players within three minor ranks, example, Gold 3 to Gold 1. 26% of rank-based matches started with converted rank deltas of more than 300 and less than 500, with all players within five minor ranks, Silver 1 to Plat 3. That is a big jump. 4% of rank-based matches started with converted rank deltas more than 500 and less than 600, with all players within about two major ranks at the standard maximum allowed rank brackets. So, I mean, that still feels to me like silver to plat, I guess. Most of these matches occurred in low population regions or during off-peak hours. 3% of rank-based matches started with converted rank deltas greater than 600. These matches should only occur when a lower-ranked player is in a fire team with a higher-ranked player, or when a highly skilled player is playing at a much lower rank. Let's see. Open skill matchmaking, also known as connection-based matchmaking. Here are the numbers from most recent poll of open skill matchmaking stats. 2% of open skill matches started with skill deltas of less than 500. 52% of open skill matches started with skill deltas of more than 500 and less than 1,000. And 46% of open skill matches started with skill deltas of more than 1,000. We see this question a lot. Why can't all the non-competitive playlists just use open skill? Having all of them previously run matchmaking with no skill restrictions made the PvP experience worse for our newer and more casual players, to the extent that when we added some form of skill-based matchmaking to our Control and Iron Banner playlists, we saw a significant increase in playtime and retention from those groups of players. Keeping new and casual players engaged with the Crucible ecosystem is critical for the population to avoid stagnation or deflation, and for it to stay healthy for players of all skill levels in the long term. Even Guardian Games Supremacy, which was often referred as an example of a successful open skill playlist, was by the end of its second week consistently hitting a lower percentage of active daily players than the Control playlist averaged in the following months, which at the same time had an initial iteration of loosed skill-based matchmaking. Hoof. loosed skill-based matchmaking. Loose skill-based matchmaking. I don't know if I said that right the first time. My brain's, it's failing me right now. This was our first attempt at loose skill-based matchmaking system for more casual play. It has been deprecated, but we still discuss how it works for comparison purposes. It worked much the same way as our ranked-based matchmaking from competitive, but with raw skill values in place of the converted rank and wider initial brackets that could expand to the maximum limits, instead of being kept within boundaries. The initial bracket was 4 times as wide as the rank-based one, so if we use ranks as an example, it would be like a Gold 1 player looking for other players from Gold 3 to Plat 2. If there were not enough players to make a game, the bracket would gradually expand all the way out to the maximum edges of the skill curve. Here are some stats from Season 22. 51% of matches started with skill deltas of less than 500. 45% of matches started with skill deltas more than 500 and less than 1,000. And 4% of matches started with skill deltas of more than 1,000. Also, I'm just going to be honest, I don't really understand what the delta means. It doesn't really matter all that much to me. All right. Fire team-based matchmaking. Let's talk about this in Trials specifically. We understood that the experience for full fire teams has suffered as the difficulty has increased with fire team-based matchmaking, but the solution is not as simple as it may initially appear. The two common suggestions for how to solve this issue with Trials and this kind of matchmaking are: make it so only trios can queue, which is how it used to be, or make it so duos cannot queue, or they can queue, but they're not protected from trios. Both styles of matchmaking have been used before and contributed to previous deteriorations of the Trials ecosystem. Before we allowed non-trio fire teams into Trials, participation was at an all-time low. I believe that. If we were to revert to only allowing trios to queue, the available population would decrease substantially. Most players would not manually find other players to group with, and the overall population would likely decrease by 30% or more overnight. That's wild. As the population would continue to decrease, skill creep would eat away at the number of three-person fire teams that can compete, and eventually the trio's experience would feel much like the same as it does now, except players would not have the solo or duo experiences to fall back on. Similarly, after we allowed non-trio fire teams into Trials, but before fire team-based matchmaking, solo and duo participation peaked and then steadily decreased to minimal values outside the freelance weekends. These dedicated weekends spiked the population back up, but it always fell off following the reversion back to standard unprotected matchmaking. Ironically, if we were to prohibit duos from queuing, or if we did not protect them from trios, we would end up with an experience much like what occurred during previous freelance weekends. This, again, does not actually benefit trios at all. The trio population would increase slightly as a small percentage of duos moved upwards, but those are generally going to be players of an above-average skill. The rest of the duos would now choose to play solo instead. This would end up making solo by far the best way to play Trials, and the trio population would eventually dry up again. With the current iteration, trio still has the highest Wallace percentage of any fire team configuration, and duos exist for people who want to play with a single friend but cannot find or do not wish to play as a trio. If we make duos no longer an option, the best experience for players would become playing alone, which is the worst solution. Agreed. Instead of altering matchmaking, we need to focus on making the trio experience more enjoyable and encourage players to participate by rewarding them. As mentioned previously in the rewards section, to recap how we're starting things off, we've modified the passage of ferocity and added the new passage of persistence to make getting the first flawless more attainable and allow players who cannot get flawless to still earn adept weapons. Players who play as part of a three-person fire team will be given additional rewards on match completions, including an additional 50% chance to drop the non-adept Trials weekly weapon reward, 50% chance at a Trials Engram drop, and additional Trials reputation. Lobby balancing. We understand that lobby balancing is currently a pain point. Some complaints about matchmaking can be more accurately attributed to lobby balancing, as it can make games feel unfair for one or both teams when players are improperly sorted. Because lobby balancing can have such an outsized effect on how games feel, it is very important to us that we make sure we get it right before we fully move to a new system. The original lobby balancer simply tried to make an average overall skill of both teams as close as possible. And while it might not seem like it, there are several things that could cause lobby balance to deteriorate to an even lower quality. As such, we are still testing and gathering data, but we can share details with you as soon as possible. Some changes for stuff that's already live. Replace the loose skill-based matchmaking and Iron Banner control with the new Outlier Protection matchmaking system. Updated competitive matchmaking to be rank-based. An update 7.3.5, we will also cap the win and loss min-max values to make them less variable, which should make point rewards more predictable. And they're currently testing several different configurations of a new Snake Draft lobby balancer. And update 7.3.5 on March 5th, we will be updating our playlist tooltips to correctly display which matchmaking style is used for each mode. We have several changes planned for our ongoing experimentation with Snake Draft lobby balancing, aimed at improving how it handles fire teams. As you can see, we have a lot of changes coming to PvP over the next few months, including a few changes planned for the final shape and beyond. We'll have more details about these updates as we get closer to their release. As always, we appreciate the feedback we receive and will continue to monitor our discussion around these changes as we iterate and update to reach our goals. I know I've said it a few times, like, this overall doesn't mean a ton to me because I just don't play a ton of PvP. But I would like to say I do like the changes they've added to Trials. I like the new passage of Persistence. That would literally make me want to get into Trials and try and go for an Adept at least once a week. And would potentially make me want to either play with friends or find a group to play with in trios just for the extra reward chance for weapons and grams and more rep. And then regardless of what all this says, it's kind of like everything else we talk about. It's words on paper right now, and it'll be a lot easier to have an idea of how this is going to play out when you can actually play it in the game. I'm not really sure how many people can say that they're going to actually like feel the matchmaking changes. Aside from possibly Trials, because I know Trials can be its own thing for sure. But yeah, I hope this is. I have seen a lot of positive reactions from people, so I'm hoping that this is able to kind of move that in the direction of things being better for PvP players. Last couple of things here: accessibility and the console UI updates. To continue to prioritize accessibility and improve the console experience, we have a few long overdue quality of life UI changes that we'll be introducing in update 7.3.5, March 5th. Added the reticle location setting on console, center or below center. I've seen this mentioned a lot. I honestly don't really know the difference because I've always only played on consoles, so I don't know how it how it feels different, but I'm sure it'll be noticeable, I'm guessing. Players can change the location of the reticle regardless of their platform in the gameplay settings menu. When a PC player changes their reticle location setting, it does not change their reticle location setting on console and vice versa. Add a controller dead zone settings. With the ability to adjust the dead zone value, players can dial in a movement setting that feels just right for their playstyle for a more enjoyable play session. Players can change their radial and axial controller dead zone values from the controller settings menu. That is something I've never, that I've never messed with in any games that have an option to do it. I don't know if I'll ever actually interact with this, but I know there's a lot of positive feedback and reactions to that. So hopefully that can make the game easier to play and like it more to fit, you know, your play style, like they say. And added the ability to adjust the opacity of the radar background. Players can now increase the opacity of the radar background to allow for more contrast between the radar elements and the content behind it. I honestly thought that was a thing already. Maybe it wasn't. All right, and the last thing is the Prophecy Dungeon weapon update, which is pretty cool. I wasn't really expecting this. Update 7.3.5 will be updating the weapons pool in the Prophecy Dungeon. This will include swapping out three weapons and making some key updates to other existing weapons. They're removing a Swift Verdict sidearm, the Long Walk Sniper, and the Last Breath Auto Rifle. They're adding a new origin trait. All the new and updated weapons below will receive this new origin trait. It's called Crossing Over. These weapons have increased range and handling for the top half of the magazine, while rounds from the bottom half of the magazine deal increased damage. So they are adding the Prosecutor Auto Rifle. It's a primary precision frame arc auto rifle. The Adjudicator Submachine Gun, primary precision frame kinetic. And the Relentless Pulse Rifle, a primary high impact frame. Damage change from kinetic to strand. Okay. Was that going to be like the second strand pulse rifle, aside from the one I think you can get competitive right now? And they have updated the Judgment Hand Cannon. It is a primary adaptive frame hand cannon. Damage change from kinetic to stasis. Okay. And these all have the crossing over trait, origin trait, like I read above. The Darkest Before Pulse Rifle, primary rapid fire frame, damage change from arc to solar. Interesting. And the A Sudden Death Shotgun, special aggressive frame, damage change from arc to void. And they've updated some encounter drops. The Phalanx Echo, you can get the Relentless Auto Rifle and the Relentless Pulse Rifle, sorry. And the Prosecutor Auto Rifle. The Cube, you can get a Sudden Death Shotgun and the Adjudicator SMG. And the Cal Echo, Final Boss, you can get the Judgment Hand Cannon and the Darkest Before Pulse Rifle. I'm just trying to think. I can't remember if the Relentless, the Adjudicator, and the Prosecutor were also Trials of the Nine weapon rewards at some point. I would kind of assume so, because it would, I feel like it'd be weird to kind of change that with the way, like, that's what the dungeon is really about, really, is the nine. Yeah. So that is the TWID this week. I can't speak for Outrider, but I can say, like, for myself personally, I have not interacted with Destiny too much. I do think that with the update, I will try and get a run or two a weekend of the Prophecy Dungeon. One, because it's a really fun dungeon. I like it a lot. And it'd be nice to get some game time in with buds and stuff like that. Or if I had to, I could use the Fireteam Finder, because that's how I've done every Warlord's Ruin that I've done so far. So, Really curious about the PvP changes, more so for me personally, in trials. I have been flawless one time, and unless I get carried, I don't see it happening ever again. So having a chance to actually get an adept weapon without going flawless with that new passive to persistence is a really, really cool thing. And I think it's going to. I like to think that it's going to actually boost the trials population a bit. Because so many people do kind of go in with this mindset of it's flawless or bust, and they don't go in there like for the sake of just trying to have fun or get wins or whatever. But having an actual way to get there, while some, like even for me, I'm like average at best at PvP, so you know, once you get to that 5-6 wins, like it's not going to be an easy task getting that 7th win. But at the same time, when you're at 5 wins, like you get to 6 wins, let's say, your card will never go lower than 5. So I like that. I like that it doesn't have losses on the card, and like I said, it could take like a full weekend to get that one weapon reward, but I think it'll be enough to get a good bit of players back into trials. And hopefully the changes they're adding to the trios playlist, where you get more rep, higher chance at an engram, and a higher chance at the non-adept weekly weapon. I'm hoping that that is able to boost the trios playlist too, because that does need some love. But yeah, I think that is gonna do it. I don't know how long it'll be just me, but I will probably be doing this for it might be a couple few weeks. And it'll be mostly going over TWABs. Maybe talking about some other games that I've been playing. Not that I have the brain capacity to remember a whole ton of stuff that I've been doing. Like Outrider has been with Like a Dragon. So yeah, we'll see. As always, thank you all for listening. We appreciate anybody that takes the time to listen. I hope that we can provide, you know, a different angle on things so that it's enjoyable to listen to, and it kind of makes you think about different things that other people or whatever may not make you think of. And I'm pretty sure we're still doing a weekly question, so if you're on Spotify for podcasts, give us a listen, give us a follow, a like, whatever it is there, and answer the poll or the question, and we can talk about it on the next show or kind of bring other topics into mind at the same time. So thanks everybody for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. Okay, bye. Okay, bye.